Hi, this is Jill Murphy from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. Before we begin with this week's episode, do you know which English king started the first recognized pharmacy organization in the Western world? We will reveal the answer at the end of the episode. In this week's episode, we will be discussing medication misuse and the future of pharmacy in 2021 with Josh Benner, pharmacist, CEO, and founder of RxAnti. With 25 years in the industry previous to COVID-19, Benner used the example of his own technology and clinical services company to describe how he has seen two segments of the population during the pandemic and their handling of medication misuse.
The first is the well-insured segment of the population. So think about the Medicare population and all of those with Medicare Advantage or Part D coverage. The first thing that happened when the pandemic began is that CMS began to relax limits on people's access to their medications, so they could fill early and they could fill more often. And that enabled patients to stockpile a lot of their important maintenance medicines, like those blood pressure, cholesterol, and diabetes drugs. And when they did that, it meant that we didn't see a major adverse effect from the pandemic on adherence rates for the year of 2020. And over time, those patients also sort of consumed those stockpiles. That is, they slowed down their filling as the year went on to use the extra that they accumulated in the early days of the pandemic. And so there really doesn't appear to have been a big lasting effect on adherence with maintenance medicines in that well-insured population like Medicare Part D. But there's this whole other segment of the population. And we know that the shocks to the economy from COVID made it harder for less well-insured patients to afford their medicines. And they had to make trade-offs between food, rent, and medicines. And there's a lot of survey data coming out now, including some pretty recently, that showed that the underinsured Americans have unfortunately gone without some important prescription meds at a very high rate during the pandemic.
An issue that Benner brought up multiple times that negatively affects medication adherence is cost. As for a solution to this, he emphasized this being a great opportunity for pharmacists to get engaged in helping patients manage the cost of their medication.
There's really nobody better positioned. As we all know, physicians don't always know the cost of a medication when they prescribe it. And although that's starting to change with some technology systems, really the best answer for what a medication is going to cost comes from your pharmacy and your pharmacist. And so we've actually been focusing on developing technology to help pharmacists and patients have better interactions around the cost of their medications. And we've developed this piece of software called Therapeutic Decision Support, which is designed to help the pharmacist recommend the medications that would be least expensive for this patient given their health insurance plan. And so it helps them know what to expect from different phases of their benefit. So for example, if you're in a Medicare plan, you may start off with a deductible and then move to a copay phase of the benefit where your cost changes for the same drug. And then you might hit the donut hole or the coverage gap, and then your costs go up a lot. And then you might hit the catastrophic phase of the benefit. And so the cost for the same medication can vary over all four phases of the Medicare Part D benefit, which can be really frustrating for people. And it can be a problem for affording your medicines. And so what our therapeutic decision support does is it tells a patient and their pharmacist, where are you in the coverage phases today? What will this drug cost if we fill it? And what are the alternatives? And based on what tiers of your formulary they're on, what would they cost? And how much might you save if we made changes? And the idea is just to enable the pharmacist to recommend more cost-effective medications for patients and enable improved adherence to those important maintenance meds.
We are taking a short break to celebrate pharmacy hero Catherine Hicks for her work at the Community Medical Clinic of Aiken County in South Carolina. Also known as CMCAC, it is a free medical clinic serving uninsured and low-income residents of Aiken County who are often able to afford their medications, according to Executive Director Jamie Malkovich. They treat chronic health issues from hypertension and diabetes to seizures and thyroid diseases. Malkovich said in a message to Pharmacy Times that Catherine fills and dispenses all medications, mostly on her own, for all 574 patients. She is dedicated to serving our community and our patients. We could not provide the services that we do without her as our pharmacist. If you would like to nominate a pharmacist or pharmacy staff member as a pharmacy hero, email the address in our description with your nominee. Now back to the show. The role of the pharmacist has changed immensely since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Benner mentioned that although the dispensing role has been filled by machines to an extent, there is still a tremendous need for the pharmacist to be an ally and an advocate for the patient in managing their medications.
I'm especially worried now in 2021 about the population of patients who are what I would consider medically complex and vulnerable. That means they may be vulnerable either because they're older or because they are poor and they have issues affording their medicines. And then they are medically complex, meaning they have multiple chronic conditions, lots of medications on board. And there's just a lot to manage from a safety, an effectiveness, and an affordability perspective. And so when you ask, you know, what's the future of pharmacy in this environment, I think it's still about technology enablement of the pharmacist role. Helping pharmacists do more for that kind of patient requires technology to answer questions like, okay, let's step back and rebuild this patient's regimen. What's really necessary for this patient? They may be seeing four or five doctors who don't know what each other are prescribing. And so I'm the one person who can see all of that. And I can help the patient understand if these are the conditions you have. Maybe let's start with building that regimen again from the ground up. So what's necessary? That might imply what's not necessary and what could be safely deprescribed. And we've incorporated into that therapeutic decision support some really neat clinical algorithms for identifying patients who've been left on medications like proton pump inhibitors, for example, that are expensive and are not without risk, but people often just sort of get left on for years and years at a time when they've lost the reason for needing it in the first place. And so that's an example of a medication that we can often deprescribe for patients. So technology can help us make decisions like that or make recommendations like that. Technology can help us understand what's safe on its own and what's safe in combination with other conditions a patient may have or other medications they may be taking. Technology can help us answer questions like what's going to be most effective for this patient. And technology, of course, as I said earlier, can help us understand what's going to be most affordable for the patient. So to me, the future is really bright for pharmacists, and it's bright when you think about pharmacists aided by really fantastic enabling technology to answer those kinds of questions.
Did you figure out our fun fact of the week? The king who recognized pharmacy organizations is King James I. The Worshipful Society of Apothecaries of London was granted a charter in 1617. Previously, apothecaries had been grouped together with grocers. After its founding, the society made itself invaluable in the coming centuries, treating the sick during the bubonic plague, winning the right to giving medical advice in 1704, and working to help found the National Health Service in 1948. Just a few years ago, in 2017, the Society celebrated its 400th anniversary. Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus. Stay tuned for next episode where we will be joined by another key opinion leader in the pharmacy space.